In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Our Lady of Pombal, also known as Our Lady of Hope, appeared in the middle of the Franco-Prussian War. The war began in the summer of 1870. Years of tension between France and Prussia, triggered by Prussian victory over Austria, led to a disastrous attempt by the French to reassert their own position in Europe. Otto von Bismarck, at the time Prussian Chancellor, used the occasion to unite four independent German states to join his confederation against the French. From the beginning, it was defeat after defeat for France. By January 1871, Paris was under siege and two-thirds of the country were under the advancing Prussians. In this cold winter, the hamlet of Pontmain and its 500 inhabitants stood in the path of the Prussian army as they advanced towards Laval. In Pontmain, the Barbadette family consisted of a father, César, his wife, Victoire, and two young sons, Joseph and Eugene. Another older son was away in the war. On the evening of January 17th, 1871, Eugene was busy in his father's barn, helping to prepare the animal feed. He stood in the open doorway, admiring the starry night, when suddenly the gaze of the 12-year-old met a beautiful lady in the sky, motionless and smiling at him. At this point in the story, we might think of righteous Joshua before the Battle of Jericho. That was the night of the first Passover in the Promised Land. Joshua stood outside the Israelite camp, pitched against the Canaanite city of Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and beheld an angel before him with a sword in hand. Joshua asked the angel, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" The angel said, "Neither. I am the commander of the armies of the Lord." For a modern reader to read the story from Joshua, we wonder, how is it that the Lord is not on Joshua's side? Why does he not say, "I am for you"? Joshua is leading the children of Israel into the land God promised them. The answer is that the Lord does not take sides. The Lord makes sides. God will draw the battle lines, and Joshua will decide on which side he will stand. And so it is with Our Lady when she encounters the Barbadette children at Pontmain. "Do you see anything?" young Eugene shouted to his brothers and father. "Look over there." "Yes," cried Joseph. "A beautiful lady dressed in a blue robe with golden stars and blue shoes with golden buckles, and over her black veil, a golden crown, which is getting bigger." The father did not see and initially told the boys to get on with their work. Then, curious, he asked Eugene, "Do you still see anything?" "Yes, she's still there," the boy answered. Eugene ran to fetch his mother. She saw nothing, but by the eyes of faith, intuited that it might be the Blessed Virgin. She assembled the family and all prayed five Paternosters and Ave Marias in honor of the Mother of God. Then the mother, Victoire, called for a nun who taught at the nearby school. The sister, Sister Vitaline, could not see anything, but she summoned to her two girls, Francois and Jean, aged 9 and 11. Without any prior knowledge of the apparition, the girls looked into the night sky and began describing the vision in exactly the same detail as the Barbadette boys did. A crowd gathered to pray as word quickly spread among the anxious villagers. Children saw the beautiful lady and gleefully pointed up to her, but adults only saw three stars forming a triangle. As they prayed the rosary, the children saw the lady's garment stars multiply until it was almost entirely gold. Next, they saw a banner unfurl beneath the lady, and slowly a message appeared. "Pray, my children, God will hear you in time." Again, how similar this is to the story of Joshua on that night outside the Israelite camp. When Joshua stood outside the camp at night, the commander of the armies of the Lord gave instructions for him for how he would take the fortress city of Jericho, not by might of their swords, but by adherence to the word of the Lord. The angel gave instructions to Joshua that the Israelites were to march around the city with the Ark of the Covenant 6 days in a row. Then, on the seventh day, they would follow the Ark of the Covenant around the city 7 times. After the seventh time, on the seventh day, the priests would blow their horns and the walls of the city would come down. So the Israelites followed the Ark around the city. We know that the Ark was carried by priests, but when sacred scripture describes its movements, it's given almost the status of a free agent. Listen to this passage from Numbers describing the movement of the Ark. They went out from Sinai, the Mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them, 3 days' journey, to seek out a resting place for them. The Ark of the Covenant is the one who goes before the children of Israel to seek out a place for them. When the Ark set out, Joshua said, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee before you." And when the ark would rest, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the 10,000s of Israel." Now we know who is the new Ark of the Covenant. Our Lady, who bore inside her not the word of the Lord written on stone tablets as the old ark did, but the word of the Lord made flesh. The old ark that Joshua followed around the city, according to the Lord's instruction, carried inside of it a bowl of manna, but the new ark bears the new manna, Christ the true bread from heaven. The old ark was made of gold and draped in a blue cloth. At Pont-Mon, the new ark appeared in blue and gold to give the children a message in a way similar to the message the angel delivered to Jericho that night outside, or to Joshua that night outside of Jericho, that not by trusting in warriors or chariots would they be saved, but by trusting in the Lord of hosts. To this end, Our Lady showed the children at Pont-Mon a large white banner reading, "Pray, my children, God will be here with you in time. My son allows himself to be touched." Upon hearing the message read aloud, the people at Pont-Mon sang the Ave Maristella. Two small white crosses appeared then on the shoulders of the lady before she disappeared in a cloud. As the night prayers came to a close, the apparition ended. It was about 9 o'clock. On the same evening, the Prussian troops inside of Laval stopped at 5:30, about the time when the apparitions first appeared above Pont-Mon a few miles away. General von Schmidt, commander of the Prussian forces, reported, "We could not go any further. Yonder, in the direction of Brittany, there is an invisible Madonna barring the way." The sudden stop of the Prussian forces in sight of Laval and their retirement the following morning meant, together with the saving of Brittany, the turning back of the tide of this conquering soldiery from that part of France, the war was practically at an end. On January 23rd, 1871, the long-hoped-for armistice arrived. Soon, all 38 conscripted men and boys from Pont-Mon returned home unscathed. Joshua, following the Ark of the Lord, was led into the Promised Land. We, following Our Lady, the new Ark, do so not in hopes of entering an earthly terrain as did the Israelites, but in hopes of attaining to the new promises of our Lord for this new and eternal covenant that he assures us. May God grant us, through these days of devotion to Our Lady, in anticipation of our celebration of her Immaculate Conception, to be led into our true home through this following. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.